Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
We're going to turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 20. We'll probably be here for the most of the Bible study, although we're looking tonight at another portion of the life of King Hezekiah. And there are three different places where this episode occurs. And so you may want to mark here at 2 Kings 20. And then we have 2 Chronicles 32, and then we have Isaiah 39. We probably won't go into Isaiah, but it's interesting where the Lord, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, incorporated three nearly identical records of this episode in King Hezekiah's life. So let's bow our head, let's have a word of prayer, and thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to be together. Let's pray. Jack, would you pray, please? Amen. Well, here we are looking at King Hezekiah. The message of the title for the message is From Faithful to Foolish. And when you think of the life of Hezekiah so that far, having put his trust in God, he and the southern kingdom had been divinely aided as the Assyrian army was preparing to attack. Does anybody remember what happened when the Assyrian army was right at the doorstep and ready to attack Jerusalem, the capital city? What happened? Do everybody remember? All right, so you had the angel of death, and it came to pass that very night. Remember Hezekiah? He prayed. Isaiah prayed. Hezekiah in the temple, they had their clothes rent, and it was a real time of mourning and a real serious need. And so they prayed, and it says that night. Don't you just love how God works? The angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. 185,000. In the morning, behold, they were all dead. What happened to Sennacherib when he retreated like a whipped puppy with his dog between tail between his legs when he got home? What happened? Remember? Yeah, his two sons. While he was worshiping, while Sennacherib was worshiping in his own temple, the sons rose up and killed him. And that was the end of that. Well, you would think Hezekiah himself would enjoy, and with the victory that God gave, and here was a man who restored the temple, he repaired, he was the one who brought back the temple worship, he consecrated the priests, and it was really a blessing to be able to see the southern kingdom of Judah get back on track spiritually. And if you remember, how old was he when he became king? Anybody remember? He was 25. He was 25 years old when he started. And therefore, this stage here where we're getting to is like at the midpoint of his life. You're going to see how in providing such an example of leadership when it came to the national crisis, he's going to now enter a personal crisis. Do you think it's easier to be in leadership, an example of godliness and faithfulness and dependence upon God when you have a a whole group of people that you may have to watch over, or it's a corporate effort as opposed to when you're dealing with something individually? Sometimes you can be so caught up in the throes of everybody being involved, but when it's your own self personally. And for men, a lot of men don't like to ask for help. But here we have Hezekiah showing us a portrait of his own personal character and his life. And staying humble and faithful should be the course of action, the course of direction for him, right? You would think so after what he's seen in these 14 years. Should not become proud or foolish or careless. How about us? You know, it is quote unquote easy. And it is pretty likely that many of us, after a major spiritual victory, to coast. Let me ask you a question. Are you consistently faithful in the good times as well as the bad times? How do you respond after you enjoy God's rich blessings, answers to prayer, wonderful ways in which God works? I think those are the times we need to be more on guard, because Satan himself never slumbers, he never sleeps. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. And when you and I are on the precipice of joy over the great victories, or just the thrill of the blessings, we can drop our guard and we become easy prey for pride. Pride. That's what happened to Hezekiah here. So let's take a look at a few of what is happening here. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. And starting in verse number 1, who'd read verse number 1 for us who's there? Edwin, go ahead, please. Okay, so Isaiah and Hezekiah, I think, had a pretty good relationship. You remember from the last time we talked, and even what was just aforementioned. So Hezekiah, where it says here, look again in verse number 1. He was sick unto death. The Hebrew here is pretty explicit. It carries with it the idea that he was diseased to the point of dying. I mean, he was on death's doorstep. And at this stage of the game, you're going to see that he was 25 when he took over. He's going to get an extended 15 years of life. So right here, he's about age 39. Prime of life. I look around the room here, and there are some who are right around that age. There are those who wish, like us, we wish we would be back at that age, right? But at age 39, Isaiah comes and he confirms the reality of his dire situation. And when he says, set your house in order, what does he mean by that? Set your house in order. Okay, arrange to die. It's like, make sure you've got your last will and testament. Make sure you've got all your funeral arrangements. Make sure you've got everything ready so that you can do the succession. Who's next in line as king? And who's going to continue the kingdom? And make sure that you've got everything established, arranged, and prepared. Well, there's a little bit of an issue, because when it comes to the next person who's going to rule and reign, he apparently has no son. Verse 2 and 3. Who'd read verses 2 and 3 for us? Alex, if you would. Thank you. Yeah, this is a unique little prayer. And you know, Hezekiah was a praying man. We found that from last study that we had in the temple. He prayed. He sought the Lord. When he hears the news, you're not going to recover. You got a terminal illness. You're on hospice. Prepare to die. He turns his face to the wall. Now, interesting what he doesn't do. He doesn't call for the physicians. He doesn't get angry at Isaiah. He doesn't react. He accepts this. Probably what the disease is, as you're going to learn a little bit later, it was an irrecoverable situation. So he knew. Turns his face to the wall, and notice what he prays and also what he doesn't pray. He doesn't pray for more days to live. He doesn't pray for healing. He doesn't pray for a cure. Although I think it's implied in that, he's saying, Lord, just remember. Now, what would be so significant about asking the Lord to remember my faithfulness, remember my integrity, remember my works that I have done for you, remember my life lived for you? What would be the significance of all that? Because is it like God forgot? No, it's not that God forgot. Why? What would be some significance of asking God, remember these things? Yeah. And it is implicit that, or implied perhaps, that he's asking, Lord, your will be done, but I got a lot more to do. And there might be just one more thought here. I don't have a son to take over the throne, which means what? If you're looking at Davidic covenant and you're looking at promises coming to the Messiah, there's no one left in succession. I wonder if that wasn't part of what Hezekiah was praying. And Isaiah, he had already left. Look at verse number 4. This is pretty cool. Verse number 4, and it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, turn back and go talk to Hezekiah. I mean, he's walking back and he's probably distraught as well and troubled at the fact that Hezekiah's going to die. The Lord comes to him before he reaches the middle court, which means he didn't even get out of the house yet. And the Lord says, go back and talk to Hezekiah. What's he going to tell Hezekiah? Well, look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. Who'd read verses 5 and 6 there for us? All right, Eric.
Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, God of David, my father. I've heard that prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up and announce the Lord. I'll add to thy days 15 years. I'll deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Syria. And I'll defend this city for my own sake and for my servants.
Yeah. Do you notice twice he mentions David? He says, I will heal you. I've heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Earnest praying, fervent praying. By the way, when was the last time we prayed with tears, right? I don't think this is a selfish thing that he's praying. I think it's a burden of his heart that he's unloading. Ever been burdened to the point of praying with tears and praying with such a fervency?
Also, for him to be able to pray for the Lord, asking him to remember his faithfulness, had it been a history and foundation of him actually having been faithful, like to have, you know, that kind of confidence is something that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you go back to chapter 18, verse 3, that's a good point, Eric, because look at chapter 18, verse 3, and look at the description that is given about Hezekiah. Chapter 18, in verse number 3, and this is right at the very start of Hezekiah's reign. What does it say? Who's there would read that for us? All right, Jack. Chapter 18, verse 3. Yeah. So Hezekiah is an imitator of David, who was a man after God's own heart, and it's incorporated into the scriptures of this description of a man who followed his forefather David, to whom God gave the promised covenantal blessing as well as the coming of the Messiah through his line. And so Hezekiah goes back, and can you imagine? I'm sorry, Isaiah goes back to Hezekiah. And can you imagine? Hezekiah is barely done praying. And there's a knock on the door, or else, Isaiah the prophet here to see you? Send him in. I don't know how all that happened, but can you imagine Hezekiah's delight and thrill? Hearing, the Lord heard your prayer. By the way, the covenantal promise is going to continue. You are going to be healed, and in 3 days, you're going to go up and worship in the temple. Also, the Assyrian army is not going to come and defeat and destroy Jerusalem for my servant David's sake. Now, there's a lot of spiritual implication in all of this. Isaiah giving it to Hezekiah. And so now, what does Hezekiah do? Well, before we get to that, look at verse number 7. Who'd read verse number 7 for us, and who's there? Mary? Wait a minute. I thought he was going to be miraculously healed. What's the purpose of taking this lump of figs and putting it on the boil? Well, the word boil here is the same exact word that is used of Job. And you remember how Job treated his boils? He scraped because they oozed and they were full of pus. And the word for boil here is the same word also, not just used for Job, but is the same word used for the Egyptians when in the plagues God sent and put boils upon them. And these were either ulcers or leprous type. It's not the plague, but there is some means by which he got some serious infection. And I was doing a little bit of reading on these. And what they were was they would grow to the point where they would start cutting off some of the blood circulation, and they would absorb the body nutrition and such. And it would actually erupt. And then you would get into a heavy infection, and it's irrecoverable. So what about the figs? If God's going to heal him, why does he need figs? Aha! The faith that Isaiah has and the faith that Hezekiah has is in God alone. But God is going to use the instrumentality of the figs beyond the figs, because the healing is not going to come through the figs. The healing is going to come through the Almighty God of glory in his power. But what a testament it is. And also a reminder to you and me that while God will always do his part, we always need to do our part. In the book of James, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let the elders go and pray over him, anointing him." And it says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. It's not the anointing of oil that will heal the sick, although the additional oils are necessary. And it's interesting when you look at the fig poultice. Actually, the word here used is like a cake of figs. And they took the ripened figs and they made a paste out of them. And it was indicated, I have a little quote here. I don't know who Gerard is, but he says this: "Figs stamped and made into the form of a plaster, soften and ripen impostumes." That's a nice word for saying boils. "All hot and angry swellings and tumors beyond the ears." So there was something medicinal in this, but yet God took that and he said, "Do that part, and I'll miraculously do my part. And this irrecoverable disease is going to be completely reversed." What a testament to Isaiah, Hezekiah, the people, all the doctors. Because who is the one who heals? God. What a testament it was to the entire nation and the army of the southern kingdom of Judah when God miraculously destroyed and the death angel came and took care of 185,000. Who got all the credit for that? God did. There were many a times, by the way, when God promised military victory and military deliverance, but the people still had to go out and fight. By the way, there are times I've been talking to certain individuals, and when it comes to answered prayer, I'm praying, God isn't answering. I said, He is answering. It's just He's not answering like you want, when you want, the way you want. If God answers prayer, no, that's an answer. If God answers the prayer, wait, that's an answer. How many of you have been praying for something for years, for somebody perhaps for years, and it just doesn't seem to work? Oh, listen, folks. Don't ever get discouraged. Don't ever give up. God has reasons and purposes for doing and not doing. Even as Jack opened up in prayer. And in this portion, Hezekiah is miraculously delivered. Now look at what he does next. Verse number 8. And Hezekiah says to Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" What is the sign? He's actually seeking confirmation. He's not seeking a sign to lock in his faith. He's seeking God's confirmation upon this. And Isaiah says, well, look at verse number 9. Who'd read verse number 9 for us? Verse number 9, who would read that for us? All right, Rosemary. So God is going to confirm the miracle with another miracle. And so Hezekiah, you talk about somebody who has every reason to depend upon God, every reason to trust in God. He's restored worship and seen the blessing of it, unifying the nation, giving God the glory. The temple is reopened. He sees God protect against the Assyrian invasion. And then he hears that God's going to heal him. And now, going forward, that means will the sun go down or will the sun go back? Well, what he's talking about is 10 degrees. This is an ancient sundial, kind of had a 360-degree circle on the sundial. It's divided by 12 hours of sunlight. That was the average day. It equals 30 degrees per hour. That means a third of an hour is 20 minutes. So it's going to be easier to gain 10 minutes of daylight or lose 10 minutes of daylight. Hezekiah says, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but to let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. In other words, it's easier to lose daylight than it is to regain it. So put another 20 minutes onto the day. Isn't it nice here where he almost gets a choice? We don't always get that. In this economy, the confirmation of the will of God is just that. Isaiah isn't seeking God to do what he promised already. He knows what God's going to do. It's the confirmation. By the way, in Isaiah chapter 7, "Behold, the Lord shall give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive, and she shall bring forth a son. She'll call his name Emmanuel." He said that to King Amos. That's going to be a sign. It's a confirmation that God is going to complete His will and do His work. You know something? Today, we don't need so much a confirmation because right here is the confirmation. Everything that God has said is incorporated into the Holy Scriptures, which is enough for us to have a full confirmation of who God is, what God's going to do. In Isaiah's day, they didn't have all of this. They didn't have all of this. In Hezekiah's day, they had Isaiah's, who would come and give this. I would have loved to have been in the court of Hezekiah when all this was taking place. When I got to heaven, I might have to hunt up Hezekiah and ask him about all this and check this all out. Okay, so what happens? Well, Isaiah the prophet, verse 11, he cries unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down by the dial of Ahaz. Now, some seem to think, oh, did the whole world? I mean, in order for there to be a 20-minute reversal, the Earth's rotation has to be reversed. Or is this just a local phenomenon? I don't know which it is. All I know is some supernatural, spectacular event that God did. So let's look at the second part. We go to verse number 12, and look what happens next. Hezekiah is given, he's paid a visit. Who read verse number 12 for us? Verse number 12, Edwin. Yeah. So Baradak-Baladan, he's over in Babylon. Babylon's about 1,000 miles away. By the way, this is from where the wise men came to visit Jesus, in this same region. Okay? So they come over, they hear about this healing and this deliverance of this near death. So they send a delegation. And they come to Hezekiah. Hezekiah hearkened unto them. Now, by the way, you have to jump back. You have your Bibles open here. Let's go back and let's go back to chapter 32. I'm sorry, yeah, 2 Chronicles 32, verse number 31. Who'd read that for us? 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31. Who's there would read that for us? 2 Chronicles. All right, Eric. Now, listen to the... Now, it says in this 1 Kings passage, 2 Kings passage, that Hezekiah... He seemingly welcomed them. Look at what it says here in the 2 Chronicles passage.
Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart.
Ah, there's a new twist that's added to this. So it says here, this Babylonian delegation came to inquire about what? The wonder. Why would the Babylonians be so interested? I think the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, were some of the chief astronomers of the day. I mean, they were very involved in considering stellar phenomenon. And they really did base a lot of their religious beliefs based on what happens in the heavens. So they hear about this solar situation. And they want to find out more about this. So they're not only interested in a potential alliance, because you got the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom, by the way, had already been overtaken by Sennacherib and the Assyrians. They were ready to take over this one. So if the Babylonians are on the radar for the Assyrians, which they were at this point because Assyria was the world superpower, it would do well for the Babylonians and the southern kingdom of Judah to knit together. So they send this delegation all the way up through the Tigris above the desert and down into the Canaan region, the Palestine region, Israel, when they come. And you want to know all this. Now, the other interesting thing at the end here, it says, and God left him to try him. What do we make of that? I thought the Bible says God will never leave you nor forsake you. How can God leave him? Isn't that not a contradiction? Any thoughts on that?
Contradiction, or did God just step back and see, what is he going to do when he should do?
Exactly. It's not that God forsook him. It is that God at this point is going to allow Hezekiah an opportunity to prove his sincerity, to prove his commitment, to prove his love. Does God do that to us? Yeah, he does. He allows us to go through testings and trials and tribulations and troubles. Has he done that to other individuals? Yes, he has. When you look here, the Hebrew word here is the same for the word tempt and prove in these instances. In Genesis 22, came to pass after these things that God did tempt Hezekiah same word, tried him. He is not going to solicit him to do evil. He is going to present an opportunity for Abraham to prove the sincerity of his loyalty, of his love for God. He's going to have to make a decision. You know, there are times you're going to be put under a test. For instance, on your job, your boss may ask you to lie in order to either cover up something or to make things look better for the company. God may allow you to be put in that position to see where your loyalty lies. I can't lie. Yeah, but if I don't, I'll lose my job. And if I lose my job, then, Lord, help me here. I can't lie. So you're going to have to help me. I'm not going to lie. You know what God can do? God can give you a better job.
This actually did happen.
A friend of mine, back years ago, my wife and I were in a Bible study, a follow-up. His wife had just gotten saved, and we were in a New Believers Bible follow-up, and he worked for a cable company, and he was in the auditing and the finance and such, and he was finding abnormalities. And he went, he said, you know, there are certain things that aren't just quite measuring up here. The numbers don't match. Oh, that's okay, because at the end of the day, it'll work out. And then he was asked to kind of look the other way in order to help all the shareholders and everything to look good and profitable. He said, I can't do that. They said, if you can't do that, you're fired. My job? Actually, he just took this job like less than a year ago. He said, all right, I can't do it. He was fired. Within 2 weeks, he got another call at another company in a better position, better pay, better working conditions, and God honored his integrity. What a blessing. You may be given a test. Anymore, Sundays. You know what? Sundays are like a high competition day, right? You've got either athletics, academics, or arts, all these different things going on. And you may be having a mandatory, cause you to, but what about my fellowship, my believers in Sunday services? I got to be here. And then you tell that person, I can't do it. God comes first. It's like the morning message from Sunday, all or nothing. You're going to be put into positions, whether they are relational, financial, occupational, academics, arts, school, athletics, and all those things. And it's not just a Sunday situation, but it's spiritual integrity. It's spiritual fortitude. It's dependence on God. And we're going to be tried. Now, by the way, when you have certain things on Sunday, I know there's certain occupations that demand. But then there's another good thing that happens. You got a Sunday night service. Praise the Lord. And there's just so many. And so when we look and consider, is God first and foremost? Hezekiah has that opportunity. You get this royal delegation. They're coming. They're thrilled with the thing that God just did. They're wanting to learn. They're wanting to know what God is doing. How did this happen? Share with us. And you got healed? You had an irrecoverable disease. Look what happens in verse 13. Verse 13. Oh, Eric, are you still there in 31?
Yes.
Could you read verse 32 as well? Yeah, that's not what I was looking for. I got something else going on. Verse 13. Let's go back to 2 Kings 20. Hezekiah hearkened unto them. He showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. He took the royal delegation on a royal tour of all his possessions, of all the things that he amassed. I think this is where the foolishness comes in. God had done another miracle for him. It's careless. How do we know that? Chapter 32, you still there, Eric?
Yes.
25 and 26 is what I was looking for. Now listen as Eric reads verses 25 and 26 in verse number 32. And there's going to be a word I want you to listen for and see if you can catch it. Go ahead. Did you find one of the words there that showed what was going on in Hezekiah's heart?
Pride.
Do you remember somebody else, a king, who took great pride in all his accomplishments? They weren't really his, but God's. King Nebuchadnezzar, remember? He stands up on the palace walls and he looks and says, "Well, look at this great Babylon that I have built." And all of a sudden God says, "No, you didn't." And God brought him down to the beastly elements and put him out in the wild. Doesn't happen to Hezekiah, but here comes Isaiah again. Visit number 3 from Isaiah. Verse number 14. Who'd read verse 14 for us? Jack, we're in 2 Kings 20 now, verse 14. Yeah. So Isaiah says, where do these guys come from? What do they want? What are they doing here? Isaiah has some discernment. Isaiah thinks, this doesn't quite seem up and up. Something doesn't quite smell right. So who are they? And look at Isaiah's answer. The first thing that he does is try to cover up. They're from a far country. It reminds me of the Gibeonites as well. Remember when they tried and they did fool Joshua and the elders of Israel? Oh, we've come from a far country. And then he said, oh, even Babylon. Verse 15. And he said, Isaiah says to Hezekiah, what have they seen in your house? Hezekiah says, well, all the things that are in my house have they seen there? There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. You see the emphasis I made there? Well, the reality is, guess what? God owns it all. Hezekiah, for whatever reason, I don't get this, I really don't, other than the sin nature that's within every one of us. He claims credit. I mean, he's now 39 years of age. He's going to get 15 more years. And he doesn't give all the credit to God. Let me ask you a question. Who gets all the credit for God's working in your life? Who gets the credit for... We just had Thanksgiving. I appreciate the testimony Eric gave. The house that God gave to us. Mm-hmm. Who gave you the car you drive? Who gave you the clothes you wear? Who gave us the building that we have? Who did this? God did. Oh, let us never forget. Listen, catch this. All that you are and all that you have is because of God. You lose sight of that, and you will potentially fall into pride. Proverbs 16:18, the closing. Solomon writes, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride is taking credit away from God and taking it for yourself. Pride is forgetting and neglecting God and remembering yourself. Matter of fact, it's pride that led to Lucifer's fall. When you look at the six things that are abominable to God, yea, seven: a proud heart, a proud look, sowing discord among the brethren. There's quite a few in there that are all linked to selfishness. Now, catch this for a moment. In Christianity, we've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ not to be selfish, selfless. It says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be also in you which was in Christ Jesus. Prior to that, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each one consider others better than themselves. Who is Hezekiah thinking about here? You get caught up in a pride trap. We go back to 2 Kings 20. Verse 16, Isaiah says to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Again, remember the first couple of... This is what God says. This is not Isaiah opinion. This is the word of the Lord. The days come that all that is in your house, which your fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left. Look at the irony here. What do they see? There is nothing that I haven't shown them. God says, there's nothing going to be left. The Babylonians came not just to see how you were doing, but to see what you have that they're going to add to their coffers when they come and overthrow you in about 160 years. And the sons that shall issue from thee, which you shall beget, shall be taken away. Sons, he doesn't have a son right yet. We're going to see next week when we look at Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He was born in this 15-year extension. It says sons. It could also carry with it the idea of descendants. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Matter of fact, this is fulfilled. Next chapter, look at this. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh, bound him, and carried him to Babylon. Daniel, several years later, 605 BC. This year is about 708 BC. Daniel and his three friends are carried off to Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, well, good is the word of the Lord which he has spoken. It's not like, well, okay, so be it. No, this is not a casual. It's saying what the word of the Lord said is right and good and proper. God is sovereign. God's in control. And said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? The idea is, he recognizes God's mercy is not going to be upon him, this judgment. And Hezekiah is grateful for 15 more years, but he's also grateful for God mercifully working with him despite his pride. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, that's the end of his life right there. So when you think about it, Hezekiah, a lot of faithfulness. How do you go from faithful to foolish? One word, pride. How do you guard yourself against pride? Well, I think humility has to rule the day every day. Don't ever forget. You've been greatly blessed. God is. What if you get a check in the mail from one long lost uncle who left you in his will and you got a check for $850,000 because you're named in his will? What would you do? Well, thank you. And then also, Lord, you have blessed greatly. Let me not get caught up in any pride. It's by your gracious hand I've even been given this. Help me, God, to not be foolish or careless. In all that we have and all that we are, it's all God's. Hezekiah started out so faithful, so faithful. All the blessings, the miracles, deliverance, healing. One pride element. And God, that's enough, by the way. For us who are in leadership, very little room for error. You pray for your leadership. You pray for your pastor. You pray for your deacons. You pray for your Sunday school teachers. You pray for those in the political offices. Because there's a high degree of accountability. And we need all the prayer we can get. Because any one of us caught up in pride. You know how it happens to pastors? Saying, hey, good message, pastor. Well, that was great. Oh, you're the best. Man, pastor, this is... Yeah, I guess it is pretty good. Yeah, bow down a little bit more. A little more flattery. Heap it on. No. All that we have, all that we are, is because of God. Any final thoughts, comments, before we continue, or in a word of prayer? Wrap it all up in a word of prayer.
What do we know about the dial of Ahaz, the sundial?
I don't know. That might have been the standard that had been used at that time, or it may have been the king's own personal one that he made. And it went generationally, one right after another, that they used for telling time. It's about all I know there. Yeah. If it's enough to pique the curiosity of the Babylonians to come and figure and wonder what's going on with all this stellar phenomenon, it's the best I can do. Yeah. Homework assignment. Let us know next week. Any other comments, questions, thoughts? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, that the reality is, Lord, that you are a gracious God, very generous to us, very merciful. And Lord, all that we have and all that we are is because of you, and let us never forget that. Let us ever be faithful, and let us guard ourselves against pride. Oh, Lord, when we are prone to get caught up in selfish, sinful pride, would you just arrest our attention? Would you capture our thoughts at that point so we would turn away and not succumb to the temptation to become proud, arrogant, forgetting you? So bless as we mull over and consider and think on these things, and we pray that you'd watch over us and bless us so that we may be faithful in all that we do, say, and think. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much. We will dismiss there and we'll pick it up. If you've been watching us through the live stream, we are grateful for your being with us. And we will pick it up with the life of Manasseh next week as he begins his reign at age 12. You are dismissed.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this message from the Word of God. I do trust that it was indeed a blessing to your heart. As I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to enter a relationship with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not yet done so. It is God's desire for you to know Him personally. And thankfully, you can have the absolute confidence, the full assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know God and that you're on your way to heaven. Please contact me at the church office at 908-788-2672 so we can talk directly about your being absolutely sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and that you have a relationship with God. You can also visit our website at hbcflemington.org and click on the link on the homepage at the top left corner entitled God's Free Gift. You can also learn more about our ministry by navigating the different links on the homepage. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to attend any of our church services. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:30 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. Our evening worship service begins at 6 p.m. and our Wednesday Bible study, prayer service, and True Trackers Children's Ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thank you again for the privilege to minister to you today. If I could be of any further help, please do not hesitate to contact me. Have a great day.